We're turning this evening to that Psalm 133 that we sang earlier. Psalm 133. A very short psalm, but a very powerful psalm. Let us consider God's holy word. This is a song of degrees of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I trust that the Lord will bless the reading of this brief psalm, that we would receive a great blessing from our meditation upon it. For His name's sake, for our good. Behold, there is something worth seeing here. It is wonderful indeed that on this fallen planet that the sons of a fallen father could dwell together in unity. That is a most amazing thing. One of the great wonders of the world, it is. Behold how good and how blessed it is that brethren dwell together in unity. Like some of the giant redwood trees in California, those trees are the largest living things on earth. And they are also among some of the oldest living things on earth. Scientists tell us that the oldest living things on this planet are all members of the plant kingdom. Many of the trees are thousands of years old. The giant redwoods are so interesting because hundreds of years ago, many of them sprouted up very close to each other. And as they grew upward, they got even closer as the years passed by. They grew so close that after many, many years, the bark of the trees began to touch each other. And a wonderful thing happened. The bark grew all around them and enclosed each of those trees so that they became one huge tree. And what gracious and glorious pictures God gives us of His people being like trees. Have you thought about that, especially in the Old Testament? He says that the righteous man, the godly man, is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And he brings forth his fruit in his season. And then, not only in that first psalm, but in the 92nd psalm, in verse 4, the scripture tells us that the trees of the Lord still bring forth fruit in old age. But you know that in the New Testament, the Lord gives us some other wonderful pictures of this unity. In the New Testament, we learn that true believers are all members of the same body. The mystical body of Christ is described so intimately by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. The scripture says, we are members one of another. And in chapter 5 and verse 30 of Ephesians, we are members of his flesh and of his bones. Can you get any more intimate than that? We are members of the same body, the mystical body of Christ, this spiritual relationship, and we are members of his flesh and of his bones. So we begin to see something of the serious nature of doing anything that would not promote brethren dwelling together in unity. It is such a serious and daring thing to be a part of promoting or bringing any kind of schism in the body, that is, a tear in the body, a division in the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body of Christ, but that the members should have the same care one of another. Now, I've already sinned enough, and I've already augmented our Savior's suffering and his agonies enough, and we all have sinned enough. So let us never be tearing at Christ's flesh and at his bones. It is the most important matter to maintain the unity of the Spirit. This is the one thing in a troubled and tumultuous world that causes even the ungodly to pause and to consider when they see brethren loving one another and dwelling together in unity. The Lord Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And a little farther along, Jesus prayed, "O Father, that they all may be one." And again, he prays, "That they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Here is the grand evidence and the glowing testimony that is so essential to this lost world, that they see the unity of the body of Christ. Well, we praise God for the privilege of having God's presence with us. We praise God for the blessing of seeing the Lord work the unity of the Spirit in various congregations in the world. I was really amazed in being in Mexico City several weeks ago and being there in one of the planet's most populous cities, and there in that packed little building with 100 people, to watch the tears flowing for 2 hours. As that precious young congregation was rejoicing at the privilege of being a shining light in that exceeding great and wicked city and enjoying the presence of Christ in the midst of all of that vastness of the multitudes, the teeming millions in that city. The inspired psalmist gives us some wonderful pictures in this psalm of this unity. You notice there in verse 2, he gives us a beautiful illustration. In verse 3, he gives us another one. In the first verse there in verse 2, the second verse that is, he says that this unity, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. The precious, holy anointing oil on the high priest. Here we are distinctly pointed to the head. It doesn't necessarily point us to Aaron's head, but even to the one who is the greater than Aaron, that is the precious ointment upon the head, even pointing to our great high priest. He was anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit, far beyond all others. And the profusion of that anointing oil that's spoken of here ran down the head of our great high priest, reaching down not only to the beard, but to the skirts of his garments, to the uttermost, down the beard, down the skirts, to all the body, reaching every member. This precious unity is the production and the profusion of the promised Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that is pictured by this oil being poured out on the great high priest, showing us the very source of that unity. Oh, for his fullness! Oh, for the Spirit's grace! Oh, for his baptism, that we might be useful in fulfilling not our own, but the very will of Almighty God for our lives on this earth. And what could the will of God be for us on this earth? The second illustration in verse 3 shows us exactly what that is. The second illustration of the unity tells us finally in verse 3, "And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." In that Middle Eastern climate, the weather gets very hot. I remember being down at the Dead Sea, and in that very sunken area, the thermometer was registering 125 degrees. Well, you know, in that Middle Eastern region, the weather getting very hot, there's a great need for moisture. But the profuse dew that descends from the heights of Mount Hermon tends to refresh the countryside and the lesser hills of Judea. What does it say? It says that it descended upon the mountains of Zion in Judea. Hear that, all the way from Mount Hermon, way up there in the north, comes this refreshing dew. And the dew on that mountain is so profuse that in the old days, before they had Scotch Guard for their tents, they said they could literally wring gallons of water out of their tents, the people that camped there on that mountain and in that area in the 19th century. Now, the Holy Spirit and His powerful yet gentle work is also likened to dew. So says our brother Matthew Henry, refreshing as a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. Isaiah says in chapter 18 of his prophecy, as gentle and as good as dew from the Lord and as showers upon the grass. Micah 5:7. That unity of the brethren will not only be refreshing, but it will be amazingly productive. That's what the dew is speaking of here. Producing. For it is upon such brethren who nurture and maintain unity that the Lord commands the blessing of eternal life. What is that blessing at the end of the psalm? For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The blessing that the Lord commands is the blessing of eternal life. And there is nothing that we would rather see more than the Lord commanding eternal life upon all the little children that we have in our congregation, that we are privileged to minister to, as well as to the teens and the adults that do not have Christ. But the question is, what will we do? Will we do our utmost to promote this unity in the body of Christ? I say that it is of utmost importance that we do, because if we do promote the unity of the body of Christ, the day will come that we will be exceeding glad when we see many of the precious ones coming to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But you know, if we refuse to promote real unity, the day will come that we will wish that we had. What a wonder it is in a fallen world that brethren can dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment, and it is as the dew of Hermon, and it is the blessing that the Lord commands that is so great, even life forevermore.